Job chapter 23. I'm going to read this entire chapter. I'm not preaching on it, but there is a phrase I'm going to kind of emphasize during the course of this morning's message, and we'll take our story from Genesis chapter 22. But let's read together. You follow along as I read. Verse number 1, Job 23. Then Job answered and said. Now let me just stop and tell you, this is the man who at the beginning of this book, we find out, was very wealthy, had 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters, the wealthiest or richest man in all of the East, the Bible tells us. And in one day, in one 24-hour period, everything he had was taken from him. All of his children died. All of his possessions were stripped away from him. The only thing left was his wife and his health. But shortly after that, he lost his health and was smitten with a case of boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And now we find him some time later. How long after, we don't know. But here he is speaking. This is the man who we're listening to. Verse 2, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. If you have any doubt, he's talking about God. That I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and would understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. And here's the verse. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Genesis chapter number 22. Before I read that, I will quote from Solomon in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 9, where the wise man said, A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We all have in our heart some idea of where we think we should be going, what we believe should be happening, and to the best of our ability, we go that direction. We do that thing. A man's heart deviseth his way. But the wise man reminds us the Lord directs his steps. So keep that in mind, as well as Job's counsel, as we look at this story in the life of a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham is over 100 years old at the time we read this passage of Scripture. He's walked with God since at least the days when he was 75. So for 25 years now, he's walked in faith following God. And it came to pass, this is verse 1 of chapter 22, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. It's a good thing for any one of us to do when God is trying to get our attention. Every time we walk in the doors of this building, by the grace of God, we ought to come in with that attitude. Lord, here I am. I want you to speak to me. I want to know what you would say to me. Please speak to me and look for God to speak to you directly. And he said, that's God speaking, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and began to argue with God about this spoken course of action. That's not what it says, is it? And began to fill his mouth with arguments before God or with excuses why this won't work. No, that's not what it says. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, so we've been journeying now for at least two full days, it's the third day, and on that third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, that would be Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. Sound familiar? Go back for a moment to verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. What place? The mountain. God had said, I want you to take your son Isaac, offer him for a burnt offering on one of the mountains. So he went and he lifts up his eyes on the third day and he sees the place, the mountain, before him. And now in verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. This morning I'm not preaching to you on why God would ask Abraham to do this thing. I'm not trying to focus on Abraham either this morning. But I want to take an incident in Abraham's life and take the occasion and opportunity to challenge you to see God afresh and anew. So Abraham lifts up his eyes and sees a mountain. He is in the will of God. He is being obedient to God without argument or hesitation. And before him stands a mountain. I suggest to you, it wasn't just a physical mountain, I'm suggesting to you that the picture is of a mountain of spiritual nature as well. Imagine when he rose up early in the morning and left with Isaac his son and began his journey. For 2 days they traveled. What do you suppose was happening in the time of their travel? If the devil is anything, was anything then like he is today, I can imagine he's having a conversation with Abraham as he travels. And the devil is saying, think about it, Abraham. It's not working out the way he said, is it? He said he'd give you a son, and now he's taking your son away. He promised you he'd give you seed that is as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the shore, and yet he's taking your only son away from you. This is costing you more than you thought. Is it really worthwhile? Abraham, you know what you're about to do? Some would consider murder. You're going to take your son and deliberately take his life on the mountain. You're going to go home and tell them that God told you to do it, but how do you imagine they're going to react? How are they going to take the news? What's his mother going to think? What are the neighbors going to think? What are others going to think? You understand where I'm going with this? Here's a man who is in the path of obedience, and yet God speaks to him and asks him to do something, and he's facing a mountain of doubt, a mountain of uncertainty. He does not know what's going on. He just knows what God has asked him to do, and he's determined to do it. Then we read that he comes to a place where he lifts up his eyes again, and he lifts up his eyes, and he sees the answer to his need. There is to be a sacrifice made, and God has provided the sacrifice. So for a moment, I just want you to picture it this way. There's a mountain that God has placed in the life of Abraham. And as Abraham travels, all he can see is on that side of the mountain. But the God he serves sees on the other side of the mountain as well. The God that he sees lives in the heavens and beholds all the affairs of the children of men on the earth. And by the way, he doesn't just see them, he directs them. And so God is directing traffic on both sides of the mountain. In other words, God is directing Abraham in his life, and he's directing all the other elements that Abraham needs in his life, some of which Abraham has no idea. Abraham can't see it. He doesn't know what's coming. All he sees is what's ahead of him. He sees what causes pain. He sees what causes hardship. I grew up in Denver, Colorado, in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and or in the shadow of the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and spent a lot of time. Mountains are not easy to traverse. And so he traveled for 2 days, and he lifted up his eyes, and the Bible said he saw afar off. So it was still a ways away. When they finally got there, he had to climb up the mountain. He went that last part with his son by himself, and then they had to climb the mountain to get to the top. I'm suggesting to you that in this room this morning sit people who have been faced with circumstances in your life that you did not expect, you did not want. When you devised your way, you had no idea. You said, my way is going to be following Jesus Christ. I'm going to receive him as God's gift to me. I'm going to receive the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to become a public disciple of Christ, follow him in believer's baptism, join the church, and I'm going to do my best as God helps me to serve him. You devised your way, but now in the way that you devised to follow, you're facing a mountain. You're facing circumstances that are painful. Maybe your spouse has left you or is leaving you. Maybe your children have gone astray. Maybe you have gotten a phone call from a doctor giving you the dreaded news of some disease that has smitten someone you love and is not redeemable or is not recoverable at the time. I don't know what it is. Maybe you got a phone call from the boss and your job has been terminated. There are mountains that all of us face. There are situations that are so big that they loom in front of us, and we wonder, how will we make it and why are we going this way? We devised our way, but this is not the way we intended. But we're reminded that Job faced the mountain. Everything lost in one day. He had devised his way as well. But then he says in Job chapter 23, many chapters beyond the record of his losing, he says, he knoweth the way that I take. And going back to the wise man Solomon, he, God, directs his steps. I'm challenging you this morning to believe in the God who created you And the God who redeemed you by infinite love through the offering of his Son, the Lord Jesus. A mountain may look to be, and indeed without God's help, is an unmovable obstacle in our life. Something we don't know how to get around or how to get over or what to do about. But before I leave that subject, I do remind you that Jesus said, if you, a believer, have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to yonder mountain, remove and be cast into the sea, and it shall be removed. So with God's help, it is immovable, but most of the time in our lives, as we face the mountain, as we face that circumstance, it's immovable. We can't do anything about it. All we see is this side of the mountain. We don't know what God is doing, but we ought to trust God. And Abraham stands before us as an example of a man who knew that God was worthy of his trust. And so he just kept going. No matter what the voices in his head said, no matter what the fiery darts of the wicked piercing his soul said to him, no matter what the future entailed or what consequences he may face, he just kept walking on. So here's my challenge to you, church. Number one, when you're facing a mountain, just keep walking on. Just keep going. Verse number 5, once again, let's look at the language of the verse. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Remember in verse 4, he's seen the place, but it's afar off. He said, we're still going. And he just kept going. If there's anything at all that the Christian needs to do is just keep putting one foot in front of another in going in the path that God has said. Sometimes we cannot see where we're going. Sometimes we don't know. We just keep going because we are going on the last word that God said to us. If God put it in my heart, if God gave me direction, I just keep going. And so Abraham just kept going. Our problem is we get weary with the journey, and the longer the journey, the more time we have to think about it, the more difficulties we encounter, the more weariness we experience, the more loneliness we feel, and we stop. I wonder how many of us have faced a mountain and stopped just short of what God had provided for us. See, God, who told us to go, is already there. And he knows what is up, and he knows what he has planned for us. And Job expresses the confidence, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I want to see him. I want to talk to him. I got a lot of things to say. There's a lot I don't understand. But I know one thing. If I could find him, he would put strength in me. And I know this other thing, when it's over, I'm going to be like gold. And by the way, the Bible tells at the end of Job that God blessed the latter end of Job double, twice what he had before. Just keep doing what he told you to do the last time that he spoke. He said, Pastor, I haven't been able to get a hold of God for a while. I haven't been able to hear the voice of God. I don't know what next to do. Well, just keep doing what he told you to do last time. If God gave you the direction, though you don't understand, though you're no longer comfortable, just keep going. Just keep walking. Number two, notice in verse number 5 that he said, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Do you know what the word worship means? The base of the word worship is worth-ship. The emphasis is on the value or worth of something. And your response to the worth or value of that thing is your worship. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Stop and think about it. Why would Abraham even get up early in the morning, the day after God spoke to him about making this journey and doing this thing? Why would he even do it if the God who told him to do it wasn't worthy of worship? You know what worship is? Simple obedience to God, which recognizes that God is worthy of your obedience, that God is to be trusted. that God is faithful and that God is good. So walking on, keeping going, putting one step in front of another, that's worship. And he said, we're going there to worship. He didn't say, well, guys, you wait here. We've got to go and have a sacrifice. We have to go and do something very unpleasant, and you don't want to see it. You know, you don't want to be a part of it. Serving Jesus is so hard. We're going to sacrifice. No, he didn't say that. We're going to worship. And by the way, he was going to sacrifice. And any sacrifice you and I make in answer to God's instruction is worship. Anything God asks you to do and you do it, that's worship. You're saying to God, I won't question you. I believe that you're wiser than I am. I believe that you're providing for me. By the way, where did Isaac come from? It wasn't until he was 99 years old. Abraham, 99 years old, that God gave him Isaac. And now Isaac's a young man. He wouldn't have Isaac if it wasn't the gift of God. And so his readiness to do with Isaac what God asked him to do is a testimony of worship. We've got all mixed up in our world about what worship is. We think worship is an atmosphere. And we're waiting for an atmosphere to worship. No, no. You don't wait for an atmosphere to worship. If you wait for an atmosphere to worship, you're not worshiping. Worship is worship. It's being aware of who God is and what God has said and what God can do, and giving your heart to God in full and complete obedience, though it may cause pain, though it may cause question, though it may cause difficulty. Can we go back to Job for a moment? Here's a guy, if you understood what I said to you, goes to bed one night. If I can use our vernacular, he has the world by the tail. He wakes up the next morning and the world has him by the throat. You get the picture? What a reversal. You know what the Bible said Job did? When all the messengers came one after another and told Job about all the calamities that happened to him, the Bible said he rose, he rent his clothes, he shaved his head, and he fell down and worshiped God. And said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did what? He worshiped God. What did he do? He bowed down and paid homage to the worthiness of the God he loved and the God he served and the God who had just given permission to the enemy to strip him of everything precious to his life. He worshiped him. What do you do when you're facing a mountain? You can't seem to get around it. You don't know how you're going to get through it. You don't know what to do. It's full of pain and difficulty and discomfort and heartache. Just keep walking and just keep worshiping. Do you know the Bible makes a statement? I think it's in Psalm chapter 22 that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you're worshiping God and you're praising God, God inhabits. You're waiting for an atmosphere to worship God. God's waiting for worship to show up and show himself strong on your behalf. A modern songwriter said it this way, that's when God wants to hear you sing. When everything's going the wrong direction, when everything is not good, like we learned last Sunday morning in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas beaten and bound in stocks, thrust into an inner prison at midnight, sang praises unto God. Worship. Abraham is worshiping God. Abraham's heart has devised his way, but the Lord is directing his steps. And like Job, he's saying, I know that it'll be all right. I can't see how God's going to work this out. I can't see what God's up to. By the way, let me go back to Job for a minute. An old preacher that I read about one time made this observation. I'd never seen this before. When Job is finally smitten with physical trouble, some say it was an advanced form of leprosy. Some say it was just boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. That's how the scripture describes it. But a very painful disease of the flesh. You know, the Bible says he went and sat in the ashes. I can't prove this, and nor could he, but it was an interesting observation. Do you know what he did in the midst of his misery? He went and sat in the ashes. Where'd the ashes come from? What are ashes? Ashes are burnt wood, the remains of burning wood, right? If we go back in the book of Job to the very beginning, do you know what Job did all the time? He offered sacrifices. He had seven sons, and those sons on their day would have a big feast, and they'd invite their sisters to come and celebrate with them. And Job was concerned lest they would sin against God. So he would go and offer sacrifices to God. And the Bible said, thus did Job continually. And the contention of this old preacher studying this passage said, Job had a pile of ashes that were likely a result of the sacrifices that he made unto God. And so what does Job do in the midst of his misery? He goes and sits in the ashes, which are leftovers from yesterday's fire. The suggestion being that you and I go back to the place where we worshiped God yesterday, where we heard from God yesterday, where we felt God yesterday, and let yesterday's blessings relieve today's burdens. That's worshiping. That's just believing God. That's just trusting God. Remember, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. If he was good yesterday, he's good today. You may not see where he's taking you or why he's taking you, but he was good yesterday, he's good today, and he'll be good tomorrow. He cannot change. If he was faithful yesterday, he's faithful today, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. You can trust him. And finally, just wait on. Walk on, worship on, and wait on. I don't know if you've ever taken any time to study words in your Bible, but just do it. If you are good with a computer, just find a Bible program and type in the words wait and see how many times it comes up in the scripture. And then type it in this way, wait on the Lord or waiting on God. And look at the computer results that your search will bring up, and you'll find out that hundreds of times in the Bible, we're encouraged, we're exhorted to wait on the Lord. That means God's not in a hurry. That means though we've devised our way, he directs our steps. He's doing something in our lives that takes more than just a few minutes. He's not done today. He's taking us somewhere. Do you know Abraham first started walking with God by faith, according to Scripture, when he was 75? Now he's over 100, I would say now about 110. So 35 years, wait a minute, 35 years of walking with God, being known as a man of faith, not questioning God, trusting God, believing God, following God, 35 years a believer, and God's going to put you to the test? God's going to tempt you? God's going to test your faith and tell you to take someone dear to you and offer him to himself? He already tested his faith in the beginning. He said, Abraham, get you up out of your father's house. Do you love me more than you love your daddy? If you do, then go. I'll take you. I'm not going to tell you right now where you're going. I'll show you when you get there. Now, 35 years later, he's saying, do you love me more than your son, your only son? Why would you think that after serving the Lord for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and I would dare say most of us not walking by faith in the same degree as Abraham, well, why would we think God's done? Why would they think no more tests for me, no more temptations for me, no more trials for me? God wants us to grow. He wants to develop our strength. He wants to develop our character. He wants to rid us of those things which are harmful to our lives. So wait on, trust the Lord. Notice again the language of verse 5. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. He didn't say, I will come again. He said, I and the lad will go yonder. I and the lad will worship. And I and the lad will come again unto thee. That's faith. God had said, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. You know when you sacrificed? You took the sacrifice and you filleted it with a knife. You cut it into pieces. Abraham is waiting on God. Abraham is trusting God. They said in the New Testament this way, Abraham, Jesus said it this way, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was waiting on God. He was believing on God. And by the way, I remember somebody else said, I will come again. Abraham says to his two servants, we will go yonder and worship and come again unto thee. And I remember someone else standing on a mountainside with his disciples and saying, I will come again. So wait on him. He's not done yet. He's doing something in your life. He was doing something in Job's life. And Job said, I don't know, and I want to talk to him about it. I've got a lot of arguments for God, but I'm going to keep his word. My steps, he said, have not gone back from following after thee, and all your commandments I have followed. He said, even though I feel this way, I just keep walking on. I just keep worshiping you, and I'll just keep waiting on you because I know that I will come forth as gold. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, a well-known verse, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to promise you something. If God has told you to take the course that you're taking, and you're now facing a mountain, and it's very difficult and painful, and you don't know how you're going to make it or how it's going to work out, I promise you, if you'll wait on the Lord, it'll work out. He will show himself strong on your behalf. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. I don't know how it looked watching Abraham and his son trudge up the mountainside, with every step bringing them closer to the place where Abraham expects to slay his son. I don't know how it looked going up, but I have a little bit of an idea how it looked coming down. After God provided a ram, a sacrifice, the problem was there, and God had the solution. And he had the solution all the time. While Abraham got up early in the morning and left, who knows where that ram came from? But God was directing the ram, making his way up the other side of the mountain where Abraham couldn't see God's provision. So God has an answer for you. God, if he's told you to take the course, if God has set you on the pathway, trust him. He has an answer. He's already on the other side. And he sees what you cannot see. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we long in the depths of our soul to be like Abraham and like Job, in the sense of having such great faith, courage, and confidence, and yet we never think about what they had to face in order to demonstrate or exercise that faith, that courage, that confidence. Lord, we know all about you in our heart. We know you're faithful. We know you're true. We know you're good. We know you're to be trusted, but we're facing a mountain. And things seem dark and unclear, and we can't see the end, and we don't know how it's going to work out. We know who you are, and we want to believe. Help us now. Help us today to be committed to walking on, to worshiping on, and to waiting on in full confidence that when you who direct our steps finish our course, we shall come forth as gold. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.